This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
From the ArmeniaProud.com studios,
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on lineupmedia.fm.
Genatsit Pai Luis Inchpesek. How are you, Chris?
I am good, Jano. How are you today?
I am doing great, my friend. We've got a great show. We've got a conductor. We've got an orchestral conductor on board today.
That's
I don't know how people are about stuff like that, but I really enjoyed watching it. Last year, we were at the Fox Theater, and we seen Edward up there, Dobeshian. He was up there giving his – he was conducting the symphony, and I loved it, man. I think if you haven't done something like that, you have to do it. I just get out there and just listen to that, and you get caught up in it. It's beautiful.
When I was young, I was obsessed with that job. I wanted to do that job. I wanted to be an orchestra conductor.
Really?
Loved a little stick, and I was like, that's for me. Obviously, that was not for me, but I wanted to do it.
And you've always, I don't know, as kids, we've always been like, that's the one.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. That he's like the boss.
Yep, that's it. He's the guy. Yep. He's ordering everyone around. You play this, now you stop.
Yeah. Well, in Armenia, we've got a new prime minister. And I tell you what, this guy's great. I see him playing the drums. He's talking to people. And I think that's just what Armenia needs, is someone vibrant like him to just win the people back over. And this is a good start for Armenia again to just maybe start relating with the people. I think that's what politicians have to do. Yeah,
I mean that's
just relate with the people, see what the problems
are. That have the real success, and not just the success to win, but the success to lead and to govern and to to make laws and to make policy.
I think that's what upsets Armenia the most whenever we just do not feel like we care about our people,
yep.
And that's when the people are pissed. In Armenia, anywhere in the world, if you don't correlate with the people. The people are going to say, well, they don't care about us.
Of course.
So it brings me to another thing here. I've been getting emails on ArmeniaProud.com on my view on this election coming up
The U.S. election.
Yeah, right, U.S. election. And, we've got – look, Chris, it's like this. You could either – drink vinegar and get sick, mm-hmm. or you could drink a bleach and die.
Yep, that's it. That's a great analogy.
And in my point right now, I'd rather drink the vinegar and get sick.
Yeah.
That to me is probably going to be Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I think the collateral damage that Trump could do to us,
yeah.
I mean, the guy owns, folks, listen to this, the guy owns real estate in Azerbaijan, yeah. In Baku,
yeah.
You know what that's significant to me about? I mean, just think of it like this. I played football. And let's say we're playing another team in their house, and the referee last year or that year has season tickets, and he's a ticket holder. He's a seat holder in the stands. That's what we're going up against here.
No, it absolutely is.
I mean, if for some reason something goes with Azerbaijan and a war happens with Azerbaijan and Trump is the elected president, he's got invested real estate in Azerbaijan, folks.
Yep.
I mean, okay, we could look at Clinton and say, oh, she's denied the genocide. Well, wait, which one hasn't denied the genocide for us to go crazy on Clinton? I mean, I'm not, again, Chris, I'm not supporting Clinton at all, but I'm saying to you, with the choices we got, we either drink the vinegar and get sick and then we come out of it, or we could drink this bleach and die.
Well, and this, the family that is reported that he's involved with in Azerbaijan is a really, it's
yeah.
It's even bad for Azerbaijan, like they're their reports that they're laundering money for the Iranians and doing all kinds of really under the table stuff. And then they're partnered with Donald Trump on this deal. It's like, you know, that's not the influence that you want in the White House who's making policy, or I don't, at least, you know?
Right, right. So for now, till I see something more, I'm going to have to say, and I know I'm going to piss a lot of Armenians off here, because I know they, and you got a right reason to not like her. I mean, we've seen her in action with basically hugging the Turkish prime minister. She sat with the Azeri. In any case, it is what it is. And with the two, I wish to God Johnson had more power, but he doesn't. So we got to go with either Clinton or Trump. And I'm telling you, I'm going to have to say I got to lean towards Clinton on this one, and that's where I stand on.
Yeah, or either. I mean, like, if you have to, you know what I mean? Whatever you have to do, in my opinion, as long as it's not Trump.
Right.
You know?
Right, right, right. So that's my call on that, and I do apologize if I've ticked off anyone, but this last thing that I needed to hear was Trump owning real estate in Baku, which I think can only lead to something bad if something breaks out with Armenia and Azerbaijan, and if he is the president of the United States, who do you think he's going to favor?
Sure.
That's bottom line. I that's all I have to say on that one. Hey, do you see my shirt?
Did you see that shirt?
I said earlier today
when you walked in, I said, I like that shirt.
Yeah, it's a 1915 shirt, and it's not just a 1915. Each number is made from some sort of a weapon that was used against the Armenian people in the genocide. And it's a beautiful shirt that you remember it in a horrific way, of course, but it's a beautiful shirt that shows people what happened in 1915. You got the rope, you got the sword. It's a horrific numbering of a year. And I'm wearing it right now, and I found this on Armenian, on www.armenianfighters.tk, and they have sweatshirts, they have all sorts of different shirts and sweatshirts. It's all about being Armenian, and these guys are outstanding, my friends. And it only cost, I think for this shirt, $20, something like that. And it's a heavy
shirt. Yeah, no, it's a
nice
heavy shirt.
It's a nice quality shirt, and I definitely think if you guys are out there like I am, I'm in the Midwest here in America, and it's hard to find shirts like this. And I found one here, and I'm wearing it. I bought two of them. Actually, the other one, it's I don't know if my people want to hear this one, but it's a red, blue, and orange, and it looks like an Adidas flag, but it's kind of resembles a pop flag.
Sure.
And it says Get High, HYE, underneath
awesome.
It. So it's kind of neat, and they got all sorts of different shirts out there. Check out their site, my friends, www.armenianfighters.tk. And you can check them out on Facebook as well, yeah. Armenian Fighters. They got some great stuff out there and great articles, too. I mean, great posts that these guys put up. I'm kind of stealing some of their stuff, too. So what the hell?
Welcome to the family.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm always stealing some of their posts and putting it on Toast to Armenia. And
feel free to do the same with ours.
Yeah, definitely. They had, on this last one, they had Gago Drago, who was on our show.
Our guest, yeah.
Yeah, he was on our show. So I had to steal that one, guys. So anyway, I put it on our site. And check out Armenian Fighters. You can't go wrong with it. You just can't go wrong with it. They got everything you'd want to know about shirts. They got different type of shirts and sweatshirts. Check their site out. Our guest for this week is Edward Dobeshian. Edward is an orchestral conductor that I got to see his art when we were at Fox Theater. I think it was maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago in St. Louis. But, man, it was such a great time. I got to see – I mean – It was unbelievable, Brian, how he was up there and the whole thing was going. It was the first time I've ever experienced anything like that. And then I said, I go to church with Edward. I couldn't believe it. So it was beautiful. And that night, Edward, the symphony, it looked like you guys were unstoppable. I enjoyed it so much. I can't say how much I enjoyed it, but it was a moment that I said, I have to have you on our show. Welcome aboard.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. That concert that you heard is a very popular concert with the public in St. Louis. And we do that yearly in the Powell Auditorium, which is the home of the St. Louis Symphony.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a holiday show. Playing music, not just holiday music, but from all genres. We had some opera singing that night, as well as some choir music, and even some patriotic numbers. And the audience just loves that particular concert, and that, I believe, was our 17th annual holiday show at Powell Auditorium.
No, it was fantastic. And like I said, it was great to see an Armenian there leading this. It was a great. Do you guys hold this every year during Christmas time?
Every year we do that particular show every year, very close to Christmas. This year, I believe it's going to be December 23rd at Powell Hall.
Excellent, excellent. I can't. You know what? I think we're going to have to see you again. It was great.
Good.
When did you take music to heart and say to yourself, this is what I want to do. I love this. I mean, when did you take this all and say, this is it?
Well, it's, let's see. I started piano lessons when I was 6 years old and continued piano lessons right through college. When I became a junior high school student and you are allowed to take up another instrument, my father, who was an amateur musician, loved music all his life and played piano all his life, he suggested I take up the oboe. And he said, the oboe is a beautiful sounding instrument and not too many people play it. So I started the oboe when I was 13 along with the piano and played both. I had the good fortune of attending a very well-known high school in New York called the High School of Performing Arts, which is the high school that the movie and TV show Fame was based on.
Of course.
And I went to that high school where half my day was spent in music and the other half was spent in academics and to train you as a performer primarily. After that, I went off to the Hart School of Music to become an oboe performance major, got my master's in performance and joined the Hartford Symphony Orchestra in Hartford, Connecticut and played with them for 12 years. While I was doing that, I got the interest in conducting. So during that time, I was very fortunate to be accepted into the conducting program at the Yale School of Music at Yale University. I spent 4 years there, got my degree in conducting, and then just by chance, the University of Missouri needed an orchestra director. And they called up Yale because they needed a recommendation right away. Their director suddenly left. My name was given to them, and I came out for an interview. And that was back in 1984. And the rest, I guess, is history. I've been here at the University of Missouri since 1984 as the orchestra director.
That's beautiful. Now, you said going back to your dad, was your dad first generation in America or second generation?
Yeah, let's start with my mother. My mother, when my grandparents, my mother's parents, escaped the genocide, mm-hmm. they went to France first. And that's when my mother was born, in France. And my father's grandparents, when they escaped, they went to France, but then came to New York. And my father was born in New York. And then my mother's parents came to New York, and that's where my mother and father met. So I guess I would be second or third generation.
Wow. Wow. I read a couple of your articles. We found a lot of articles on you here. You've been taught by the best in America. Did you ever want to see what Europe had to offer as well? Did you ever venture off to, let's say, like Austria or anything like that to see what that's all about as well?
Well, when I was in college as an undergraduate, my roommate and I did make a trip to Europe just as a tourist, as it were. But we did go to Vienna in Austria and spent 9 glorious days there. And we heard a lot of music and visited the conservatory there. And I did have an interest in studying in Vienna. However, the way things went and the path that just opened up was the one I ended up taking, which was going to Yale to study conducting, because my teacher there was from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So I had some German training. Most of my conducting teachers were from Europe. And so I worked with conducting my teacher from Germany. And my other primary teacher was from Hungary. And they were my training, my primary training. So even though I didn't study in Europe, I have a European style of
right.
conducting.
Let me remember this. If I remember the article. Was your teacher Mueller?
Yes, his name was Otto Werner Mueller.
There you go.
And he was considered the finest pedagogue of conducting in the country. And everyone was clamoring to try to get to study with him. And I was just very fortunate enough to be one of those people.
Yep, yep. Leads me to my next question, Armenia. Armenia is noted for the Philharmonic Orchestra. Armenia stands out in that. Are you at all enhanced by the Armenian style as well? And have you picked up anything from that?
Yeah, not particularly my training of conducting was there any influence from Armenia per se. But it has long been a dream of mine to go to Armenia to conduct at least one time in the homeland. And I'm trying to figure out a way to do that and contact the right people, because I think that would be a wonderful, wonderful experience to go to the homeland and direct their orchestra.
It is beautiful, because we were there this summer, and you can't believe it, Edward, how just in the park they just play symphony, and everyone just sits on the side of a hill with bottles of wine and enjoy a great time. It's something that I think you would love for sure.
I'm sure I would. It's a very fine orchestra. I've heard the orchestra, and as I said, I've always thought how wonderful it would be if I could get over there just for one concert and conduct in Armenia.
We got to make that happen. We got to have you there. We got to make it happen.
Well, if I can use all the help I can get.
Was there any Armenian from the past or present that you always said, that's how you do it, that's how you play that?
Yeah, there are several. I mean, some of my favorite orchestras growing up were the Berlin Philharmonic, conducted by Herbert von Karajan. His performances were always spectacular. Another great conductor was Carlos Kleiber, who was an outstanding conductor of Beethoven. And I always said, when I grow up, I want to be like them.
Wow. Wow, that's great. That's great.
I still say that. I still say, when I grow up, I want to be like them.
Well, I tell you what, reading your articles, and I mean, how do you even have time to sit around and watch a little TV? You're constantly running from one group to another. It's amazing how much you're moving around.
Yes, there was a period between 2000 and 2009 that I was the music director of four groups. They were here at the University of Missouri was one of them. The Alton Symphony in Alton, Illinois was a second one. The St. Louis Civic Orchestra was a third one. And the fourth one is the Compton Heights Concert Band. That's the one you heard in Powell Hall. And that was a lot of running around. That was an awful lot of driving. I live in St. Peter's, Missouri, which is 100 miles away from Columbia, Missouri, where I teach at the University of Missouri. And so it was an enormous amount of driving from Columbia to my next rehearsal in Alton, or my next rehearsal with the St. Louis Civic Orchestra, or even my rehearsal with the concert band. It was a lot of driving, but I loved the work. I loved the challenge. It was great for the mind, and it was wonderful dealing with four different ensembles, four different personnel, four different boards of directors, four different audiences, and the four different programs all at the same time. So I enjoyed that. Back in 2009, after 16 years with the Alton Symphony, it started to get a little tiresome, the driving. So I resigned from the Alton Symphony because it was just getting to be too much.
Too much,
and
yeah.
Now I still do the University of Missouri, the St. Louis Civic Orchestra, and the Compton Heights Concert Band. And that keeps me plenty busy.
So you now have only 4 hours of sleep instead of 3 hours of sleep, is what you're saying.
That's right. That's right. I had to cut it down.
Now I got to tell you this. When I was sitting there in the audience, I was in tuned with you. I mean, I played football. I was kind of like the linebacker. You overlook all your players and so forth. When I was sitting there, I was just watching you. And when you're up there, Edward, you're like, are you in tuned with every sound of every musical piece being played out there in front of you?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. You are everything that's happening on the stage. Your mind is geared towards every instrument, every sound, every vocal voice. It's you're in charge of it all. You have to make it happen. They have their part as players and performers to play as well as they can, but someone has to bring it all together with one point of view, and that's your job, and hopefully that gets conveyed to the audience.
Okay, which leads me to the next question here. Does it get a tad bit harder when you bring in a soloist or a group singing with your music? I assume that it's much easier just for the music part, but when they start singing along with it, now it becomes a little bit more trickier, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, because there's just so much more to coordinate in terms just of the numbers of people on the stage and the distances that they are away from you, and making sure you're able to communicate with the person furthest away as well as the person closest to you, and try to make it all function as one single unit. The real hard part is we only have one rehearsal together with everybody on the stage, and we have to make it all work in that 1 3-hour rehearsal time slot that we are allotted, because then the concert takes place the next day.
Hmm.
So it's not like we get to practice together with the choir and the band and the soloist, you know, 3-4 times. We get one shot at it and have to make it work. And that's the difficult part.
You see, I never knew that. I thought that you guys did do that for 3-4 days, but you only have 3 hours to work everything together, huh?
Everything together. I work with the band, of course, regularly, so we're in good shape together as a unit. But the choir comes in just that one day. The soloist comes in just that one day, and you have to put it all together in just one 3-hour period.
And that's what I thought. I said, you know what, them playing the music, they're probably used to each other, but then when you throw in the vocalist, now they have to work as one, they have to synchronize, and that becomes a little bit more trickier. So, yeah, I guess that question was out there, yeah. Do you have any favorite piece or a composer you like to play that's your favorite, that you can't wait, this is what I love to play?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When I was very young, I always had favorite composers, depending on how old I was. There was a time period where Mozart was my favorite. Then a couple of years later, Beethoven was my favorite. And it always seemed to change. However, once I became a professional musician and a conductor, my favorite, believe it or not, my favorite piece is the one I'm working on at the moment. It just overtakes you. And you think this is the greatest thing ever written. And I feel that way about anything I'm doing at the moment. And that even includes perhaps even some of the lighter music from the pops world. At the moment I'm doing it, it's my favorite and has my undivided attention.
What about that? Wasn't there an Armenian that did the saber dance?
Yes, Aram Khachaturian.
That's it, Khachaturian.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And one of the great composers, Armenian composer, and I've done the Saber Dance as well as other pieces from the Gainia ballet that he wrote. You know, it's funny, I had the opportunity to actually see Khachaturian conduct.
You're kidding.
Way back when I was, I was 15 years old living in New York. I bought a subscription, a Sunday afternoon concert subscription to the American Symphony Orchestra, and they performed in Carnegie Hall. It was a series of six concerts. And it just so happened on one of those Sunday afternoon concerts, Adam Khachaturian was the guest conductor. And it was really quite, actually for me, historical to actually see someone of that fame and caliber, Armenian, conducting right there in front of me in the concert hall. And I'll never forget that.
I tell you what, Edward, that's big, because that's all they talk about. When I was there, and his name is still very popular, even in Armenia still.
Yes, so. I have no doubt. Wonderful, wonderful, talented composer.
So what's our next project? Are we getting ready for Christmas musicals and holiday musicals? What's going on now?
Yeah, right now we started just now rehearsals for our Christmas program with the band to do in Powell Hall again. Mm-hmm. And I have a concert coming up in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, with the St. Louis Civic Orchestra. And just last night, I did a concert here in Columbia, Missouri, with the University of Missouri Philharmonic. We just did a concert last night.
Wow.
And we'll move on to our next project, which is a big choral work entitled the Brahms Requiem.
And that's about the medieval times, the bronze, I'm assuming.
Yeah, no, the Brahms was written in the 19th century. It was written in the 19th century. And it's a requiem that is like most requiems, done in memory of. And this one is in particular because this one is one of the few requiems that's done that he wrote in German.
Hmm.
Because most of the requiems use the original language of Latin. And this one is using the language of the people, German. And in fact, the actual title is A German Requiem.
Ah, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we have these coming up. I tell you what, is there any way that our fans, our Armenian fans, can find you on a certain site, or they can go to where you're going to be playing and so forth, that we can possibly see your next performance?
Well, each one of the groups I conduct has a website. If you just simply Google Compton Heights Concert Band of St. Louis, or if you Google the St. Louis Civic Orchestra, or if you Google the University of Missouri School of Music, you can get to all the information of what's coming up and how to reach me.
Okay, so Brian, remember that, and we'll put that on our site as well. Well, thank you very much, Edward. It's been a pleasure. And you know what? It's great to meet people that are making other people happy as well. And that night that I went to see you guys, I didn't expect, you know, I never gotten into anything like that. But when I sat there, I was just electrified by just enjoying great music, and you were center stage. So God bless. It was a fun time.
Well, thank you so much for those comments. Those comments like that from the public are really the most meaningful for us in terms of knowing that we communicated with our listener, and it was a real pleasure for me to talk to you. Thank you for asking me to come on and speak to you about it, and best of luck to you.
Thank you very much. That's Edward Dolbeshyan, and you guys could definitely check him out by Brian. You'll have some information out there to see where we'll be conducting next. So that's great. Thank you, Edward, for being on the show.
Okay, thank you, John. I'll stay well.
Take care. That's my church guy. That's my church guy, Edward Dolbeshyan, and I got to interview him. It was great. And, folks, it's amazing. I know I'm just talking like this, but seeing the symphony happen and seeing Edward up there. It was amazing, and I can't wait to do it again. And something I want you guys to do for me out there is go to our site at ArmeniaProud.com, and once you get to ArmeniaProud.com, it's on your right-hand side, right in the middle of the page there, towards the right corner, right side, I'd say. You've got Amazon. Click on Amazon and buy away whatever you guys are going to buy. Christmas time is right around the corner, and we'd love to have you guys come to ArmeniaProud.com. Even you could go to ArmeniaProud.com/Amazon. That's one way. Or if you want to check out our page, go to our page, and Amazon will be on the right-hand side. Click on Amazon and shop away. Again, Christmas is right around the corner. And why go through all that throwing each other on the ground? Armenians don't do that. We sit back. Mink shod zoravor martik nerenk vor gesnek nestiliev. Shop away an ink. So any case, go to Amazon, shop away, and we get a little love back in return. So thank you very much. And I'd like to give a little shout out to lineupmedia.fm that makes all this possible. Lineupmedia.fm, my friends, we've got over 30, 40 shows, and we've got Armenian Nights. That's a great brother cast, like you might say. They're out in L.A. We're in the Midwest, and they do a lot of comedy. They got a great podcast, and they're affiliated with us. Once you get done with our show, check Armenian Nights out there. And I think they're called Armenian Nights Podcast.com, Brian. Is that it?
ArmenianNightsRadio.com.
ArmenianNightsRadio.com. That's it. And that's a great show. Michael Gregorian, he's got the crew out there. And it really is fun to listen to. I mean, these guys bring out Armenian humor that's West Coast. And I love listening to Michael and the guys over there. So keep up the great work over there, guys. And if you guys want to check out lineupmedia.fm, we've got a lot more different shows, sports shows, social shows. I can't believe I said social sport. But in any case, we got it all. Check out lineupmedia.fm. Again, my friend, check out ArmenianFighters.tk. They got these cool T-shirts, sweatshirts, whatever you guys want to buy out there. They have it, and they're real cool symbols. I got one on today, like I said in the beginning of the show. I'm really excited about it. I ordered two of these T-shirts, and they're both outstanding. Thank you, ArmenianFighters.tk. These guys are great, and the shirt I'm wearing right now is outstanding. It's not a cheap shirt or anything like that, and it's very affordable. Thank you guys out there for being a big, showing a lot of love towards the Armenian people, and these T-shirts are really putting us on the map, too. Thank you very much. Hey, folks, it's time for John Donjoyan, our guy, our physical guy, to get us back into shape again. John, how are you out there?
I'm great.
What do you got going, John? What have you been doing? Last week you had some sort of a boot camp going. What was that all about?
Well, let's see. Last weekend I had a weightlifting competition I entered. So
wow.
This is Olympic style weightlifting, where you do you get three chances at each of two lifts. You do the snatch and the clean and jerk, and so that was a big difference for me from the week before. I think that's what you're thinking of. I was mountain biking in North Carolina.
That's right. And last week you did some weightlifting, huh?
Yeah, so last weekend, like I said, it's kind of the exact opposite. And when I was in North Carolina, we did one bike ride that was 7 hours long. And then the next weekend I get back and I'm literally trying these lifts that take a matter of seconds to do.
Now, on that note too, John, is that bike riding out in the wilderness and off terrain type of bike riding?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's much different. That's much tougher. Yeah, that's got to be a little bit tougher than just on a smooth road, highway. You know, there's a lot of bumpiness going on there.
Yeah, and since we were in North Carolina, there's a lot of climbing too. I think we on the long ride we rode up over 3,000 feet of climbing.
Jesus.
So what is that? 3/4 of a mile, 2/3 of a mile uphill.
Wow. So how long? I know when you were a little kid, you were doing this bike racing, BMX style, and all that. How did you get involved in this part?
Well. So I always liked riding bikes and, you know, racing BMX and everything. And about the time I graduated from high school, maybe a little after that, around 1985, 86, mountain bikes started getting more popular and you saw more of them. And, you know, I saw it and I thought, man, that's just the perfect combination because it's a big enough bike and it's got gears on it. Plus, I can go ride trails, and which is what I used to love to do with my BMX bike. So, I don't know, it just turned into sort of the perfect combination for me, a way to get outside. And I wasn't really thinking of the exercise as much as I was just how much I love to ride bikes.
And your weightlifting as well. Does this – I know that some athletes, they pull a lot of hamstring, their thigh muscles aren't the same because you're getting bigger too and doing right. that and that. I mean, they do have a little conflict. Am I right or wrong on that?
No, you're absolutely right. You know, the weightlifters would say that that I have no business doing those long bike rides, that they'll ruin my strength for the lifts. And the bike riders will say, well, you don't, you know, you're not going to benefit your bike riding at all by doing the weightlifting. But it's like I say, I'm not trying to be the best weightlifter or the best bike rider. I just want to do good at both.
There you go. There you go. Well, you got your weekends all scheduled out. So what do you got going this weekend?
Well, it was supposed to be a family vacation down to Florida, but for obvious reasons, that's all been canceled.
Wow, I hope those people do well down there.
I was hoping to be surfing and paddleboarding down in the Atlantic Ocean, but that's not going to happen now.
Well, I mean, there is a surf up there. There's definitely high tide, that's for sure. But, so you're not going to be doing that. What do you got going? Anything physical?
So we're building some new trail in a park in St. Louis County. I formed a volunteer organization about 17, 18 years ago that oversees trail construction, works with the local parks, and we build trail with volunteer efforts. So we've got a big volunteer day Saturday morning at a park in St. Louis County to build some new trail.
What park?
I'll be doing
that
and then probably riding bikes afterwards.
Sure. What park is that, if you want to let it out?
Yeah, it's just off of Grant's Trail, or I'm sorry, not Grant's Trail, the Al Foster Trail, it's called, near the Merrimack River. Bluff View. Bluff View is the name of the park.
Excellent. And this will be for people that just want to walk or people that want to ride their bikes or both?
Both. Also, I think this one is open to horses as well, so people on horseback can ride it.
Excellent. Well, you know who we had as our guest? He's from our church, Edward Dolbeshian. He was on our show. It was a great interview too, John. You would have really liked it. And I told him that you're on the show as well, so he kind of said, wow, that's great. What do you got? What do you got for us, John, that we could do all around the office or just our leisure time just to stay in shape a little bit?
Well, I probably said this before, but what's on my mind this week especially has been nutrition. And nutrition is it's well over 3/4 of your fitness. It's certainly all of your wellness, right? Everything you put into your body affects your wellness. And so if you're eating things that are bad for you, that that your body doesn't like, it promotes inflammation and it basically prevents your body or inhibits your ability to fight off colds and fight off diseases. So there were a couple of articles that I wanted to kind of highlight that I saw this week around nutrition and around the changing mindset, particularly with the Food and Drug Administration. So one thing is, if you've ever seen these food bars called Kind, that's the name of the bar, Kind bars, and they have a lot of nuts in them, nuts and seeds and some dried fruit. Well, the FDA about a year ago said that they weren't going to call those healthy. The company Kind could not use the word healthy for those bars. And the reason was there was too much fat in them. Hmm. Well, the FDA has now begun the process of redefining the term healthy, and they're reevaluating how much fat that you should eat or that you can eat. And this is a big change that's happening in the world of nutrition in particular, around fats, namely plant-based fats, especially from avocados and nuts that are high in omega-3s, but even saturated fats in meat and other kinds of animal produce. You can eat a lot more fat than they've been recommending. So the whole low-fat craze that was basically started in the late 60s, early 70s, they're learning that was really as wrong as it could be, because what they've replaced the fat with is sugar, and sugar is the real enemy.
Isn't that amazing that every other year, coffee's in, coffee's out, fat's in, fats out, cholesterol this, bacon, you can't eat bacon, you could eat bacon, you can't eat bacon. I mean, they'll go back and forth on all this.
That's right.
It really throws us in a mix, and I'm wondering if the businesses, if the big market businesses have some influence on what they're saying out there, what the FDA is putting out,
they have a ton of influence. And so you can do a little research on this, and you'll find it pretty quickly that the sugar councils, basically the people that make sugar and high fructose corn syrup, they're the ones who were largely responsible for financing the findings in science that say that fat is bad, and so it promoted them to replace the fats with sugar.
Wow.
And in fact, there was just a whole series of articles on CrossFit's website where they run that. But there's another one too. This is another good one, and this is a you need to read your labels type of story. So Pepsi, they own a company called Naked that makes these Naked juices, and I'm sure you've seen them. If you've ever been in an airport, they're all over in the airports.
Mm-hmm.
So the name of the juice is Naked, and there's pictures of vegetables on the front,
right.
And this is the, you know, these smoothies, they're so good for you. Well, it turns out if you pick up a bottle of that stuff and you read the label, it contains around 60 grams of sugar in some of these Naked juices. So this is a 12-ounce serving.
Wow.
And it has more sugar than a Pepsi.
Wow. That's amazing.
And what they'll say is, well, the sugar's from fruit, but in when you take fruit juice and you separate it from all the fiber that's in fruit, that means the sugar is going to be processed by your body and digested so quickly that it's no different than the sugar in a soda.
Now, is it though fruit-based sugar, or is it concentrated sugar that's been added in there as well?
It's fruit-based sugar.
Okay.
But sugar is sugar.
I did not
There's
know
no
that.
Difference.
I did not know that. I thought if you eat fruit sugar, that's part of the, you know, the chemistry of fruit. God, I'm so ignorant about that.
Well, here's what we have to be careful of. When you eat a piece of fruit, the sugar that you're eating, number one, is less than if you drink a glass of orange juice. It's less sugar if you eat an orange. But more importantly than that, the sugar in the orange is basically contained inside the fiber that's in the orange. Mm. So that slows the absorption of that sugar in your body. If you drink it in a juice, that sugar goes straight into your system and you get the resulting insulin spike.
Wow.
And insulin is the only hormone in the body that governs the storage of fat.
Hmm. So you're saying that if we're going to eat the fat, we cannot have the sugar with it, right? It's a bad chemistry together.
Well, yeah, and I guess what I'm really saying is, you know,
keep away from sugar.
Reverse the ratio, right? Is so you reduce the sugar and increase the fat.
Yeah. Yeah. So
and, you know, keep your eye on the good fats, of course, but
that is really good news for us Armenians, John, because we love our greasy foods, man. I mean, we love our kebabs, we love our whatever it is. There's a lot of protein involved, and yes, we love that the pork with the fat on it,
right,
too. I mean, Jesus Christ, Armenians love their fat.
Well, there's the Mediterranean diet, right, that everybody talks about, and there's a lot of olive oil in that.
Yeah, yeah, and we're just constantly rolling it up in our Armenian pita breads and, you know, Middle Eastern breads, and we're enjoying life. And that's got to be a myth, too, about the pita bread. Oh, it's much more healthier. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Hey, well, it's the same, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, so so basically, let's stay away from... let's stay away from sugar again. You've been really high on that. You mentioned that before as well. That's cool. Yep. That and it's so powering, John. I mean, sugar. I think I don't know what people go through on heroin or anything like that. And I make fun of people. Why can't they just kick it? But I'm telling you, late night, you crave that sugary snack or something like that.
Well,
it's very
so
tough. It's a tough thing to kick.
Yeah, there's research out there that shows that sugar is as addicting as a lot of those powerful drugs.
Yeah, yeah. Is there anything, too, physically that you can give us a little pointer on around the office or anything like that? I know I'm throwing a curveball at you because you thought about the nutrition aspect of it. Is there anything out there that we could do?
Well...
Because that thing that you mentioned before really is a good idea. Just get up and just walk around, you know, a couple times and then get back to – I mean, that really went well with me because I said, wow, I did not know that this is something that serious now that people are having concern about for their health being just sitting around the office. And, God, we're all – I'd say – 90% of, not 90, I wouldn't go that high, but 50% of the business world out there, we're behind in the desk.
Oh, absolutely. Sitting is the new smoking.
Yeah, that's what you said. That's what you said.
Yeah. So the one thing that I'll throw out there this week as far as exercise go is you know, you have to do what you like to do. So that's why I do mountain biking. That's why I do a lot of the sports that I like to do, is because it gets me out there and it's motivation as opposed to, oh, I just have to go to the gym and, you know, walk on the treadmill for an hour.
That whole concept with the volunteer work, that's right there. You're doing something you like to do, and it's something
right.
that you're working your body at as well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's hard work. It's enjoyable because you're with other people and you're out in the forest, you know, helping to build new trail. But the one thing I was going to say is around exercise is I see a lot of people exercising with not enough intensity. And there's really, I guess the best way to put it is 4 minutes or 5 minutes of really intense exercise is better than 20 or 30 minutes of very, very low intensity.
Mm. Yeah,
so you see people going for long walks and everything, and that's great. I mean, to get out and get moving. But if you really want to do you want to do your metabolism some good and you want to really push your metabolism, then 4 or 5 minutes of really intense, like I guess I would highlight what do they call it, the Beachbody series, mm-hmm. where they do a lot of push-ups and sit-ups and a lot of calisthenics movements, but they tend to do them at a very intense pace. And there's really just a ton of benefits to that. And yes, it's uncomfortable, but it's short-term and it's over. And I think there's not enough of that goes on.
And
I think a lot of folks are exercising at really low intensity.
Yeah. One last thing I want to bring up to you. Now, people that do this, people that are like mountain riding their bikes and really active, I see you guys with the bananas and, I mean, there is a need for the sugar as well for even the athletes, right?
Well, there's a couple of schools of thought on that. The thing is, you go through sugar very quickly. So if you eat something like a banana while you're on a bike ride, I mean, that's fine. It's not going to hurt you, but you're going to burn through that sugar pretty quickly.
Hmm.
The way I approach my nutrition for those long bike rides or for anything that I do is I continue with my low sugar, low carbohydrate diet, and I focus more on my fat burning. And so I just want to make sure I get enough fat. So for a long bike ride, a long day on the bike, I'll do something as crazy as drink bulletproof coffee. If you've never heard of it, if you Google bulletproof coffee, it'll come up. But it's basically a cup of coffee with a tablespoon of butter and a tablespoon of coconut oil in it. And so it's very high fat content, and that actually will leave me pretty satisfied for most of the day. So I'll start the day with like a 4-egg omelet and some bacon and a bulletproof coffee. And so I've just got a ton of fat in my system, and I can go nearly the entire day and eat very little while I'm on the bike.
Wow. Wow. That's interesting. So that's a cup of coffee, regular coffee,
yeah.
And then you're throwing a spoonful of, with the coconut?
A tablespoon of butter. And now this is where we get into a little bit of the sources around fats. So I use a grass-fed butter made by Kerrygold. So it's an Irish imported grass-fed butter. It's a little more expensive, but it's tastes much better, and the quality of the fat is better. And then I use a tablespoon of that and a tablespoon of coconut oil and a little shot of vanilla
okay.
extract.
Okay. So if they don't have the means to get to that grass-fed butter or whatever, on that regular butter would work as well.
Yeah, it would. I guess what I'd say is you'd be better off just going straight coconut oil instead of using a mass market butter.
That is so interesting. That is really good. That's good stuff. And you know, something about that, when I played football, our coaches would make us eat so much carb. We were eating pasta. I felt bloated with pasta, but that's what they made us eat. And I don't know if that helped us out or not, but you felt like you had a ton on you before game time. I don't know
well,
how the hell.
There's a little bit of benefit to that if your body's used to burning that glycogen. But again, you're going to go through that in the first few minutes of any exercise, and then at that point you're back to burning fat and protein for your energy.
Right. All right, John. Well, this park that you're going to, you need any more help? You need my help at all?
Sure, I'll send you the details.
All right, great. It's been great, John, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care, brother.
All right, bye.
All right, see ya. Another great interview with John.
Successful show.
We can't eat sugar. That's what he keeps saying.
Yeah,
can't eat sugar.
I know.
I'm telling you though, Chris, it's so damn difficult late night seeing that hostess of pie sitting there, and you're like, I could dunk this in milk.
You know, they plan those out to run at those times.
Those bastards.
Evil corporations.
They're evil.
Yep.
They're evil, and especially the Armenians when they make that baklava.
Mm.
I'm telling you what, my mom used to make that with the syrup, with the cinnamons in there, and she used to throw it all over and have it melting on there. By nighttime, this thing is soaked up in that sugary syrup, and you're like all over it. And so, anyway, I know what you're saying, John, but it's so damn tough.
Hard to resist.
Yes. And you know what? We're close to an hour here, my friends, and stay good. Be good Armenians. What I threw out there was my own opinion about the presidential election. You guys could do whatever you want, but I'm just saying to you, Donald Trump has real estate in Azerbaijan. So if that plays any role in your voting, I just want that in your head right now. So, hey, Chris, have a great weekend,
you too,
my
man.
Friend.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
Yep. Genatset Kisher Party, my friends. We'll see you next week.
Tune in next week for another episode of A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. Find the show online at armeniaproud.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation at facebook.com/ArmeniaProud or Twitter at ArmeniaProud. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.